David Carter. I think he's here. Up in the
yes. Yes. So we'll get to him. He can catch up at bump. But he has, we'll start with the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, do I have a motion to approve the minutes?
Move it.
Okay, any discussion? Everybody's good? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Carrie? All right, we're going to go a little bit out of order today to the dates and schedules. So we're going to do the resolutions first. So we have Resolution 104 approving the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000 entered into by the county, Liston Healthcare, DBA WellCare, Office for the Aging. So move it. Okay, second? Okay. Okay, any discussion?
Well, we just wanted to hear, you know, we had, as was noted, postponed it because talk about the experience of working out last year.
Sure. WellCare is one of four or five contractors that provide personal care services across the county. This goes through the enhanced in-home services for the elderly program. This is one of our core programs to keep senior citizens in their home and out of more expensive long-term care options. They receive case management and a host of services. One of those services, it is warranted as personal care, where you can have them in the home. Cooking for them, cleaning, and providing them the basic household chores. So we've got a standard contract that rates are set by the state of New York, and it's reimbursed on a sharing basis with them.
Okay, thank you. Any other? Go ahead.
I was going to say, ask you just in terms of the figures and people desiring to age in place, how this supports that. I mean, obviously it does, no limit of this. You could just talk to us a little bit more.
This is one of the major supports for people. Again, it's basic housekeeping and the support in their home.
Right. I mean, are we shifting our population in that direction in any measurable way?
What do you mean?
So is there sort of this is a good example of a program oriented for that. And I think there's one way that you've been able to track out something to keep people out of circumstances that take them away from the comfort zone at home.
The major thrust of the programming. The Office of the Aging, we're targeting a population that's just above a Medicaid eligibility, but still relatively poor. And these are a lot of people that are alone or don't have a lot of supports. That's why they all flows through their assessment and case management. But that little extra help, a lot of times, is the difference between remaining in your home or going into a nursing home.
Just kind of just add one thing. It's significantly cheaper in order to stay at home than be in a facility. So I think that it's cost effective.
Is there any, and maybe this is something to talk about over, it's not about today, but over the course of, the year as we continue to work and work toward that goal. Are there data that you talk about what are the most significant costs for people who are, just instead of having better pushing
I guess I'm trying to understand the question.
Is it energy costs? Is it taxes? What are the, if there are trends?
I think clearly taxes is the biggest thing for people, just in your, people staying in their home, for, especially for senior citizens on fixed income.
Right, I'm just asking if we're tracking that or if we're figuring out maybe something to, combine for for example, referring them to the programs that recommend this, energy efficiency, whatever else it is that we can be doing.
This is just one component of comprehensive programming that's done. And in fact, we have substantial programming with WebCo, RCAL, you know, all the support services. And it's not, there's not one piece makes a difference. Again, it's based upon an individual assessment, working with their case manager, and kind of identifying those barriers and providing solutions.
And that's why you put everything all in one office, like food stamps, everything's all right in the Office of the Aging, so it's accessible.
So it's integrated.
Mm-hmm. No, granted, I mean, I think a lot of people, when they come into the Office of the Aging, don't realize that, there's a stigma attached with, providing support to the Department of Social Services. So we try to alleviate some of that stigma by, trying to make some of that interaction, not obvious to people as they're going through the process.
And even a lot of them are confused, not sure where they're going, what they need to do. So that's a better support system for them to walk through the process.
I'm just wondering how many people do you think this would, over the course of the year, this would...
I don't have the statistics memorized, but it's hundreds.
That's great.
Because, quite frankly, it's all based upon available funding. You can always do more. You know what I'm saying? These dollars in particular, it's flow through a state reimbursement program. And you can get an allocation like any other county. You can always use more.
With population aging, especially. Any other discussion?
Didn't we just talk about having, because we ask these questions every time, some kind of reporting mechanism in this resolution as a revision?
Mm-hmm.
Don't you remember we discussed the idea of just being able to receive that with our backup materials on the annual, when we
annual
report?
Right.
All those statistics are in the annual report that we find in the legislature on March 1st.
Okay. Oh, so we have a new one then. Yeah, great.
Okay. Because it was in the session
before. Yeah. Great. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, it's passed anonymously. Okay. Resolution 143, confirming reappointment of a member to Ulster County Youth Board. Evelyn's with us today.
How are you?
Hi.
What's wrong with 143? Is that
Ronda?
It's 143.
It is. Esther.
143 is Esther Taylor Evans, who's been on our board. Great board member. It may have been about 4 years.
Okay. Does anybody have any questions? Okay. So I'll call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Resolution passes. Okay. Resolution number 144, confirming the reappointment of a member of the Ulster County Youth Board. And this one is for Ronald Fields.
Right. Ron's been on the board for a while as well. He's also served as our chair. He's also a wonderful.
Okay, great.
Right. I don't have anything else to say about the board members. I did want to let you know that we did get word today regarding the state budget and the Youth Bureau Services, the programs, the Youth Development Program, YDP, did get cut this year. So that's not really great, $199,000 overall. So we'll find out how much we're going to get.
Okay.
Cut for our program. But it does mean that we did have three new programs that applied this year for funding, and it was going to be difficult to fund them to begin with, but now it would be even more
so. Possible, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. It's going to be a lot of that, I think, now, unfortunately. So, all in favor?
Aye.
Passed. All right, let's see. Resolution 157, approving the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000 entered into by the county, Sandu Contracting, Ulster County Community College.
This is the Kingston Road project. So we just went through the bidding process. This company now has won the bid. It's $114,000, just slightly below the budget that we had set aside for this project. Everything except for the invoicing is going through the county, and because the college is involved and there is state money involved, all the invoicing has to go through the college in order to get that matching fund. So that's how and why we're involved in this project.
Is there any other questions?
Well, this project was typed out in such a fashion to draw down the 50% match versus us completing it when we did it.
We have the advantage of us leveraging state money to take care of local finance. So it's a wise thing.
How are we doing it? He keeps us 100% mill strip. I know you mentioned we need to talk about that.
How we're doing is we need another floor is how we're doing. We're doing well. Mm-hmm. Right now we're actually scrambling for space. Now that we're offering additional adult programs, we have department chairs that are literally fighting to get space at that time. So I couldn't be any happier. Then I was talking to Ken today. I was kidding. I said, could you just put another floor on as long as you put a roof on? Because that's what we really need.
Great. Good. So any other discussion? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Resolution approved. Okay, Resolution 158, authorizing the chairman of Ulster County Legislature to enter into agreements with the New York State Office for the Aging for the administration of the New York Connects program and the Balancing Incentive Program. So, we move it. Second. Okay, do you want to tell us a little bit about
this? Sure. This is, you're familiar with the New York Connects program, but this is an expansion of the New York Connects program. So our Office for the Aging is providing support to not just the elderly, but also people with disabilities. So that was a change in mission and expansion. These dollars help support that mission. To measure, these dollars are less than that we've had in the past. And you know, I've been very proud of how we've been able to use these dollars here locally. In you know, most counties, get this extra money, and what they do is they supplant those dollars in their own operations. What we chose to do is expand services, and we expanded services, multiple contracts of RCAL, RUPCO, but really getting to people who need the service and connecting in a way that I think is unique to Ulster compared to definitely all the counties in Hudson Valley, but I think even statewide. And unfortunately, the state's decided to cut these dollars, so the programming will start to wane, and we may not be able to support those two contracts through the balance of the year.
Yes, is there something that we can do to at least lobby with our constituents to save the budget this time?
Not really. A lot of these dollars, the bulk of them fell from the federal to the state. The state's just going in a different direction, where instead of funding each county to implement the services, they're contracting with people on a regional basis. I don't think it's going to be as effective, but it's a decision that they made some time ago. It was catching up to us.
Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Resolution passed. Okay. Resolution 159, providing for the burial of spouses of veterans in the Ulster County Veterans Cemetery.
I'll move it.
Second. Okay, any discussion?
It's a lovely idea.
Thank you. This is something we've spent a lot of time. Back when the legislature authorized the Veterans Cemetery in 2008, it was pre-charter, it was done with the committee, and they brought it to a certain level. And if you were, I remember traveling out there over the years, it just wasn't at a level that you really want it to be. So we've spent a lot of time over the last couple of years where we've had crews in there realigning the stones so they have military precision. We've done an enhanced contract with the cemetery to provide some outside landscaping to make sure the grass is green and well manicured, and This is kind of the last piece of that process where we're really bringing our local county cemetery up to more of a national veteran cemetery standard. And I know the veterans community has been very involved in the decision all along, and the dollars for this, and we expect about 5 spouses per year, and we budgeted these funds in the 2017 budget. This is just to change the underlying policy. Thank you for doing that.
Yeah, it's really, it's good.
I'm not sure if we've been there.
So it's actually one of the most beautiful views of the ridge from there. It's actually, you go there, actually, you'll notice there's actually a new sign to the veterans area, if you will. It's beautiful. A lot of it was done through donated time and effort from a lot of the veterans groups. It's just beautiful. It's really coming together nice.
Nice.
And we'll probably do a rededication this year.
Oh, nice.
How
do
these spouses end up getting?
Well, the way that it is now is, first of all, we provide, the law allows us to provide burials to indigent veterans. And we currently provide that support also to spouses of indigent veterans and minor children of indigent veterans currently. And we do that now. But that can be burial in any cemetery around the county. Mm-hmm. This in particular, we've always allowed the spouses to purchase the plot next to their spouse. It's one of those things where actually most of the people that come in to the cemetery have modest needs, and it's a lot of dollars to come up with. It seems like the right thing to do. It's something like that.
Oh, yeah.
When you look at the scale of it, again, it's about $8,500 a year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it makes a tremendous difference to the families that, you know,
you get things that work, because you want to be very next to your partner.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Okay, Lauren, Resolution 159. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. So let's see. I take care of everyone, thank you for coming today.
You're welcome.
Thank you. You're welcome. Thank you, too,
Kathy.
Did the college have anything else they wanted to share? Or?
Probably the fact that some enrollment looks like it's going to be solid. Applications for next year seem to be up. And big news is that tuition is free. I don't have any answers for that yet. I was on a conference call for an hour, and it's very murky. We were hoping for more base aid. We got $50, which was a little disappointing. We could have used much more. But we'll see what this free tuition is. We'll keep you updated on it as we find out. But right now, there's two more questions than there are answers.
Have you set a date yet for financial aid for parents coming in?
I don't have that with me.
Okay. But you set one already?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We can look up that. But we're going to have bigger, we're going to think about community needs with this tuition period. So we need to have a wider scale.
Right.
You don't have those answers
yet. Right. You're good? Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you for coming. There we go, Lee.
Sorry, I'm going to college.
I just wanted to mention that on the agenda next month, will you be here?
Yes.
On the agenda next month, I want to discuss with the group, and I'll bring a proposal that has to do with the community college. So I'll call you about it tomorrow.
Okay, good. Okay.
Thank you.
Well, I wasn't able to attend the last meeting. Graciously, you let two of my folks chat with you. Christian Malzatsky, who's our new ag program coordinator, and Melanie Forstrom, who works for the 4-H Youth Development.
They do a very good job.
They usually do. Melanie, sometimes it's hard to keep to a time limit, but I think it stems from the fact that they really like what they do.
Yeah,
and are excited about it. So I didn't.
I should be somewhere right afterwards. So,
right. Yeah. So I didn't prepare anything for having folks come in and chat with you here, but I did put together a whole bunch of. These are the kinds of things that we use to advertise programs and let folks know what we're doing. So there's a sample of them here. This is a
program book. This is from one of our livestock newsletters, which surprisingly has been one of our more popular agricultural offerings of the year. We have a young man named Jason, I can't come up with his last name right now, who's been doing all kinds of pigs for beginners, chickens. He raises cattle, so he knows that he does a lot of programs on cattle, small ruminants, goats and sheep. I think at the last class he ran, which was Pigs for Beginners, we had 45 people come out to it. Who would guess that there's 45 folks interested in raising a couple of hogs? But anyway, he is. So this is a newsletter he put together, and that's just some articles from that. The other things that I put together here are, again, this is something that impacting Ulster County that we gave out to some of our state legislators. There is the state funds Cornell Cooperative Extension Associations in each county based on a formula that they use that includes the amount of money that they get from the county, plus the population, and it's one of those fractions that even the numerator has a numerator, denominator, or whatever. I've never been able to figure it out, but we get about $66,000 from the state that they match because of the contribution that Ulster County makes as well. That funding's been flat for 20 years, so this year there was... last year they put together some legislation that would allow them to raise the cap on that, and this year they were asking legislators to add some additional dollars to that program. I think they were looking for an additional $3 million, which would have meant for us another $45,000, which would have been really helpful because it can only be used for program and staff. So that would have been great. It was well received, but wasn't in the budget that was just passed. But this was what we put together to let them know about some of the impacts of the programs in Ulster County. Just a real short one-page thing. So I've given that to all of you, which I hope that you will either share or let other folks know about. If they want more information on any of these things, I'm happy to do that. This Ulster Current is something else that we've shared. We have about 2,000 people on this mailing list. We try to do most of it electronically so we can save paper and mailing costs and all those other kinds of things. We do this quarterly, and it's sort of our letting our constituents know about the kinds of programs that are happening, what's coming up, and some of the results of the programs that we did. This one is pretty interesting because it's got Cornell's history on it, on how it came to be the land grant. Many people don't know that when they were doing land grants in 1864, the city system didn't exist. They had some. So everybody says, well, why isn't the land grant SUNY? So Cornell is part of SUNY. I mean, parts of Cornell are SUNY. Certainly the College of Ag and Life Sciences, the College of Human Ecology, the Vet School, a couple of others and whatever. The tuition is actually different for folks that are enrolled in those parts of Cornell than the regular university as well. So it is part of the SUNY system now, but back when they were allotting the things, again, the SUNY system didn't exist as it does today. So that's how Cornell got to be the land grant in New York. It's really kind of a fascinating history. It had to go up against a Methodist college in order to get the designation for land grant, and I guess there were all kinds of strings pulled. You just kind of think, well, that was very easy back then, but it was as complicated back then to get things done, I think, as it is now. We just aren't realize
don't
that.
Appreciate it.
We all appreciate that. There's some things in here, 4-H, quick, and for those of you that helped judge at our public presentation contest, it's not a contest, really. It's a program for kids to help them to develop the skills they need to do public speaking. It's our pride and joy. We ask all of our folks involved with our youth development program, whether they're in the RAP program, the Relatives as Parents program, or they're in our mentoring program, whether they're whatever program they're working with in youth, we ask them to do to be a part of the public presentation program because we think it's one of those basic skills that kids should have and be comfortable with at an early age. And in fact, when they've done studies with 4-H alumni, and they said what was the best thing or the most important thing that you got out of the program, almost all of them say the public speaking thing. So people just get, you know, if you start a kid out being able to stand up in front of a group when they're when starting at 5 years old or whatever, getting up to 16 or 17, there's really no fear for them at that point because they've learned how to put together a presentation, they've learned how to organize their thoughts around that and then be able to do that presentation, hopefully without notes, because that's what we work towards, but with all of the resources that they need in order to talk about. And we don't stipulate in this program that kids have to do a presentation on their 4-H project. We ask them to do a presentation on something that they're interested in. And we find that that makes it a whole lot easier for kids to talk about something that they really have a passion for. It's easier for them to talk about that than it is if we say, well, okay, so you're learning how to put an arm, sew a sleeve in your, your clothing, your dress or your jacket, so you have to do your presentation on that. That's not very exciting. So.
Who teaches that?
We do trainings for our 4-H adults who work with the kids. So that's done, it's a train-the-trainer kind of thing. So they work with the kids. We provide some countywide trainings for folks that either want a little bit more or aren't comfortable teaching those things. So there's some countywide trainings that we do. And we're always looking to, for our older kids, we do a job interview program. And we actually bring people in from businesses and stuff and then let these kids apply for a job, which they might not have done before, using the skills that they've learned in the public presentation thing. It's one of my favorite things. I always totally enjoyed that day. Yeah.
And I was thinking to myself, what was I thinking having to be somewhere at 9 o'clock on Saturday morning when I could sleep late? But it was really, and we had like a 7-year-old boy with his dog. And a couple of girls, several girls do cooking presentations. Mm-hmm. And that's very specific, like what they have to do and what they have to hit and what they're trying. Yeah, it was really interesting.
Cleaning your hands, making sure you have a dish towel on the table.
Setting it up.
Setting it up, really.
There was a little girl that came in with how to bathe a, what is that? It gets a dust bath anyway. Whatever, I can't even think of what kind
chicken?
Of animal it was. No, it was
chilla.
And that was, thank you. And that little girl was very little.
Yeah.
And she'd only had her pet for like 3 days, so they weren't really, he wasn't cooperating with her too much. But it was just really adorable, and it was really, I mean, you could see what kids have done it before and what, you know. And some of the parents were more nervous than the kids.
Actually, if I had my druthers, I would have the kids do it without the parents in the room. Those of you that teach know this. You have some parents that, like, hover, you know, and they try to set it up for the kids, and they're trying to answer the questions for the kids or find them and whatever.
Most of them didn't come in. We had a couple. We had one grandma who came in with one granddaughter and not the other one.
So they know their kids.
But it was really, really, if you ever get a chance to do it, it's really.
So thank you for hosting. It was yummy. Oh. And thank you for switching the agenda around. And
you're
I'm
welcome.
Sorry I can't stay for the rest. You know I love you.
I know you
and
do.
Have, since we've met, love at first sight. So I'm going to I'm going to run to my Tessa for dinner.
Okay.
Anyway, thank you
very much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So some of the other things, this Want to Eat Better for Less is our nutrition program. This is where the recipe came for the black bean quesadilla. They have lots and lots of really good recipes and lots of opportunities to work with folks to again, teach them some basic skills. It's amazing. It is amazing. It's amazing to me because it's probably because my father was an immigrant and my mother... family were immigrants or whatever. So as I was growing up, you know, you learn to cook and sew because you learn to cook because you had responsibilities and, you know, my mother cooked. We're finding that that's not the case anymore. I'm also makes me realize how old I am. And so we're dealing with 30 and 40-year-olds who have never cooked anything. And so if they're in kind of dire straits and whatever, and they're depending on all of their meals coming from the outside, you know, having to go out and buy things and whatever, it is amazing how quickly they can burn through their money. So this whole program is to teach them about healthy eating, and then also how to budget your money so that you have food for your children and your family at the end of the month, you know, so that it's not all gone in that first week. It's been a program, I think it's 40 years old, and I think Ulster's been doing it for 40 years. We have another nutrition program, which is, again, another regional program called Eat Smart New York. Same basic information. The audience is a tad different. Those are for folks who are on food stamps or food stamp eligible, so they don't have to be families. The two programs actually work together. The woman that we have hired here who's working with that program is out and about doing lots and lots of presentations, basically about the same kind of information. So two ways that we find that we're trying to get information out. The WRAP program, which is Relatives as Parents, is currently expanding its efforts because we got I think it's $500,000 grant for five years from the Office of Children and OCFS, Family Services, to expand the program. We're looking at doing another site, maybe hopefully in Ellenville, to reach adults who are raising relatives, some of whom are very tired and old and have already raised kids, but are trying really hard to do the right thing by the kids that they're raising.
It's a whole new ball game when they raise their kids. Yeah,
it's a whole new ball game, and a lot of those kids are incarcerated or having problems with drugs or whatever, which is why the kids are with them. So we run programs for the caregivers, and we also run programs for the children because we find that those children are sort of behind. Those children are behind the eight ball. You know, they don't have parents supporting them. Their grandparents are, if they're grandparents, sometimes they're elderly or whatever. So we do a lot of work with both the kids and the adults. So if you know of anybody who is raising a relative's child and could benefit by this program, it's not regulatory in any way, shape, or form. We don't report to anybody. We do report numbers and things like that to Office for the Aging. But we find with this population that sometimes it's very... Folks are very leery about asking for help because sometimes there's no legal status for them to have their relatives' children, and they don't want them taken away. On the other hand, if we can get them involved in this program where we can provide some support for them, they can keep doing that, and it keeps those kids out of the foster care system. And each one, every time you keep a kid out of foster care, you're saving the county $100,000 and probably more a year. So there's that as well. So if you know of anybody who's doing that, please have them give us a call or give us their name, and we have an outreach person. That's one of the things we were able to do with the OCFS money is now we have an outreach person, and so she can actually, she's going to all the different schools and different things and whatever, but she will actually step out. Sometimes it's hard for people to come through the door, but she will step out and meet with them and whatever and give them the information that they need. There's all kinds of other things going on. I mean, you know, this is spring. The Master Gardeners, I wanted to say thank you to the community college. Just Saturday had their annual garden day. It was the 19th garden day, which next year's the 20th. It was sold out about 3 or 4 weeks even before it happened. A couple hundred people out at the community college taking classes on home gardening, pruning, landscaping, community events and things that they could work with in the horticulture field and whatever. Very, very popular. And they've got a bunch of events coming up, a seedling sale and a plant swap and whatever. And some of that information's in there, or you'll find it in the Ulster Current or whatever. So there's just such a wide variety of things going on. We have our Shokan Basin program is working on the next fad I think we're just coming off of 5 years. The next one might be 10. And with the EPA, every so many years, they have to renew the whole concept of what it is that they're trying to accomplish and whatever in keeping the water clean for the New York City residents. Comes almost all of it comes through Ulster County. And they're very, I think, appreciative of that. And this program has been one that we've been working with for, well, probably at least 8 years and look to continue. And what we do with them is we provide them information with local government officials. We provide a lot of trainings. We provide education for landowners. We do a lot of stuff with some stuff with children. They've got a detective program going on at the Ontiora School with the elementary school and the middle school where those kids are out looking for different things in the stream and actually doing scientific experiments that they report back. And then we have the scientists from DEP and also from Cornell helping to evaluate the information that they're bringing them. Just basic, all to raise awareness about how important it is to keep our waterways clean. That's the reason why DEP contracted with us. We managed to throw in a lot of other things too, including a fishing contest that they do at Wilson Park. Again, anything to get folks aware of their surroundings and understanding them and how important, how things are all interconnected. It's kind of scary sometimes to realize that a lot of people just don't go outside anymore and don't really notice what's going on outside of their barbecues. So one of the things that we work with. So I don't know if you have any questions for what we do. This is where we live. Two other offices. We have some ag folks stationed at the ag lab that's on Route 9W in Highland, just above where 299 and 9W meet. That's an ag experiment station, part of the Cornell experiment station in Geneva. And we have staff there. So they have scientists there, and we have staff there that help take the science that they're doing and then relay that back to the farmers and those kinds of things. And then the Ashokan office is on Route 28 in Shokan, in a very nice log house. That was a sample for something and whatever. Finding you know, office space and whatever in the watershed is difficult. There's not a whole lot that's available. So we lucked out into this. And that office we share with Soil and Water, who also has an agreement with New York City DEP to provide. They're providing a lot of the engineering and whatever on the projects that are going on. Through the Ashokan Basin Program, the city gives us about $2 million that is designated for projects. It's open to municipalities. It's open to landowners or whatever. There's certain criteria that folks need to meet. It's a grant-driven program. We have a committee that acts on all of the proposals that come in to accept them or not. Again, they have to meet criteria. They have to meet DEP sets the criteria. And that's been really successful as well. So we hold that money for them, and then we divvy it out.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome.
So, we appreciate you hosting us this month. Well, it's great to have you here. You know, it's nice not to have to get in the car and drive to the community college. And I've made that same mistake a couple of times today when the meeting's been at the legislative building. So.
You know, when I got out there and I saw there was hardly any cars, and I said, that's right, they had why was the big with my son-in-law, they're redoing their basement over, and so we're building walls and things like that. We've been doing that for the last 2 days, so I wasn't really in contact with a lot of people.
Do we have any other old business? New business? Yeah? Okay, do I have a motion to adjourn?
Move.
Second? Thank you. All in favor? Sorry.
Well, at least I got to sign all the resolutions.
You did. Thank you, everyone.